Let's go to the Word today and look at a message entitled, Jesus' Emotional Crushing, Your Emotional Healing. Jesus' Emotional Crushing, Your Emotional Healing. Just a few hours before his arrest, Jesus was contemplating the prophecies, the Old Testament prophecies, of his crushing. He was thinking about people pulling his beard out by the handfuls. He was considering the crucifixion, the spitting, the crown of thorns, the ridicule, the mockery, the rejection, the whipping. He was considering all of this. He was contemplating what he read in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Psalms, and he began feeling crushed. In fact, I'm sure he thought about these scriptures from Isaiah 53, verse 5 and verse number 10. Notice what they say.
That he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities.
Crushed for our iniquities. Verse 10.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer.
Twice in this chapter, Scripture says that Jesus is going to be crushed. The word crushed means to crumble, beat to pieces, break in pieces. It comes from the Hebrew word to collapse physically or mentally, to break. So Jesus was considering what Isaiah predicted. In fact, Jesus probably related this to the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse number 18, where it says, the Lord is close to the crushed in spirit. This word in the Hebrew means powder. So Jesus was considering his physical suffering. And he started feeling completely crushed in his emotions. Contemplating physical suffering produced emotional crushing in Jesus. Listen to his words to the apostles in Mark chapter 14, verse 33, verse 34.
He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch.
Scripture says that Jesus declared that he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. This word distress means to astonish utterly, filled with fear. So Jesus' understanding of his future suffering, trial, rejection, torment, filled him with astonishment and fear. Terror took hold of Jesus' emotions. And he was full of trouble. He was full of heaviness, despondency. He was saturated with loathing. He was repelled. He felt repelled as he considered what was awaiting him the last 24 hours of his life on earth as a mortal human. Then the scripture says, Jesus told the apostles, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He's describing his emotional battles, the crushing, the beating to pieces he was feeling. He was intensely sad. Sadness that felt like death. I am filled with sorrow, Jesus said, to the point of death. It looked like he was going to be defeated even before he made it to the cross. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, this Jesus, who was emotionally crushed, came back from the brink of emotional destruction. Let's read Luke 22, verses 41 through 44.
He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
Jesus withdrew from his apostles and knelt down and began praying, "Father, please, if it's possible, take away this cup of suffering." He was emotionally torn to pieces. Then Scripture says an angel stood there and strengthened him, but nevertheless, it goes on and says that in anguish, he cried out to his Father for strength. And his sweat was like drops of blood. Brother, sister, he was on the brink of emotional destruction. But after the third prayer session, after the third session of spending time with his Heavenly Father, he suddenly was emotionally strong. He was built up. He was empowered in his emotions. And look at what happened. Mark chapter 14, verse number 42.
"Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
He wanted to run away from this torment, from this last day of his life on earth. He didn't want the suffering, the struggle, the pain. But now we see a new Jesus. He goes to the apostles, and instead of running away, he says, "Rise, my betrayer is at hand. Let's go meet him." He was willing to go and face his betrayer and allow himself to be arrested. In fact, he was so empowered. I want you to notice what happened to those who came to arrest him. John chapter 18, verse number 6, here it says,
"When Jesus said, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground."
Jesus said to the mob who came to arrest him, "I am Jesus." And the Bible says in this verse that they all withdrew and fell to the ground. They were what charismatics or Pentecostals would call slaying the spirit. These who came to arrest Jesus were so overwhelmed by the power that was within him that they fell to the ground. He had to withhold, restrain the power that was within him for them to arrest him. So you see, he came back from the brink of emotional destruction, but the crushing of Jesus was not yet completed. In fact, his crushing began several days before he entered Jerusalem. Jesus felt rejection. No human likes to be rejected. He felt rejection, though. Listen to these words, Luke's Gospel 19, verse 41, 42.
"As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'"
He wept over the city of Jerusalem. The people said, "No, we don't want you, Jesus." The ruler said, "No, we don't believe in you, Jesus." So he felt rejection. He wept over the city for its own sake as well as his own feeling of rejection. Listen to Isaiah 53, verse number 3.
"He was despised and rejected by men. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not."
Like one men hide their faces from was Jesus. He felt this rejection. This was all happening about 7 days before his arrest. He felt rejection, but he also felt Peter's denial. Jesus was arrested. He was standing in the court, standing before the authorities as they were interviewing him, interrogating him. Peter was standing among those onlookers. Peter, 3 times denied he knew Jesus. After so brashly bragging that he would go to death with Jesus, he denies Jesus 3 times. Now, I want you to notice what happens after his 3rd denial. Luke's Gospel 22, verse 60 and 61.
Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times.
Jesus was not near Peter when Peter denied him. And yet the Bible plainly says that when Peter denied Jesus the 3rd time, that Jesus turned and looked at him. See, Jesus felt Peter's denial, even though he didn't hear it. He was experiencing the worst emotional battle any human has ever faced. But Jesus also felt very low. Psalms 22, verse number 6, in fact, all of Psalm 22 describes Jesus at his arrest, crucifixion, and torture. But I want you to notice what Psalm 22:6 says about Jesus' emotional feelings when he was on the cross. It says,
"But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people."
Can you believe that? Jesus said, "I am a worm and not a man, despised by everyone. Even my own followers deny me. They forsake me." Oh, Jesus was being beaten to powder. His emotions were crumbling. Well, the crushing blow to his emotions took place, though, while he was on the cross. You see, while hanging on the cross, Jesus experienced our sinful nature. He was not born with Adam's nature. He inherited his heavenly Father's nature. He never wanted to sin, and therefore he never sinned. Oh, he was tempted. He was enticed. But he chose to reject all sin. He never knew our sinful nature. He only experienced his heavenly Father's nature. You see, it wasn't important for Jesus to feel our sinful nature. It was important for him to be like the first man, Adam. He was like his heavenly Father, just like Adam was like his heavenly Father. You see, Adam was God's son by creation. It says that in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 3. He was God's son by creation. He did not have a sinful nature. So Jesus was born by his heavenly Father. So he never knew a sinful nature until the cross. And on the cross, heavenly Father placed on Jesus our sinful nature. The pure Son of God, the sinless, spotless Son of God, felt sinful. The Son of God, who had never wanted to sin, felt our wicked nature, the carnal, sinful human nature was placed upon Jesus. Jesus cried out those words we've all heard from the Gospels, and from Psalm. I want us to read these words from Psalm 22, verse number 1.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?
Jesus was crushed. He was completely beaten to pieces by all the emotional battles, and then finally by feeling sinful human nature for the first time in his 33 and a half years on earth. Father, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from hearing me? Why are you so far from paying attention to my groaning, O Heavenly Father? You see, his crushing was complete. Brother, sister, I don't know your emotional battles and struggles, but none of them have ever been as complete as what Jesus experienced. But good news, Jesus experienced complete and eternal emotional victory. Here he was hanging on the cross saying, Father, Father, where are you? Why don't you hear me? Why aren't you listening? But then he gathered the last little bit of strength he had. And while he was hanging on the cross, he spoke these words. These words that show that the suffering Jesus experienced a complete and eternal emotional victory. Luke 23, verse 46.
Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last.
Do you see the change in tenor of his voice? He was saying, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why aren't you hearing my groaning? But now he's gathered himself together and he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The words of a loving son. The words of a victorious human. Yes, he died. He died physically. But before his physical death, he won the greatest emotional victory ever won. He won a victory over his emotional battles. Why? Because he wants to share his emotional victories for you and me. Jesus' emotional victory provides emotional healing for God's children. Let me do that again. Jesus' emotional victory provides emotional healing for God's children. During his lifetime, Jesus promised to share his healthy emotions with us. Listen to these words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you.
Did you hear that? I give you peace. And then he said, my peace I give you. He's promising to share his personal peace with you and me. He's not merely giving us peace. He's saying, I share with you what I am, and I am eternally peaceful. Oh, before the cross, he was in emotional turmoil. He knew no peace whatsoever in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to the apostles, I am sad to the point of death. My soul is in anguish. But now, he's raised from the dead. Emotionally peaceful forever and ever and ever. And that's the peace of mind. That's the peace of emotion that he offers you and me. My peace I give you. Listen to John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse number 11.
I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
He said this so that his joy might be in us. He's not offering you a joy you manufacture, you create. He's saying, I am willing to give you my joy. And I'll tell you, he's joyful forever and ever and ever. Jesus rejoices for all eternity. He's saying, I'll give you my joy. We can have his joy while we live in this earth of turmoil. We can experience Jesus' personal joy while we live in these flawed bodies. We can experience and know Jesus' personal joy during this lifetime of difficulty. This is the words of Jesus from John's Gospel 17, chapter 17, verse 13.
I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them.
He said, Father, I'm coming to you, but I'm saying these things. Why? Look at the words. So that my people might have the full measure of my joy in them. Third time in John's Gospel that we see Jesus promising to share his healthy emotions with us. So Jesus experienced emotional crushing so we can share his emotional health. He went through emotional crushing so we can know and be possessed by his emotional strength. Brother, sister, we can be emotionally healthy. We can experience Jesus' emotions now. The Jesus who lives in heaven is saying, let me give you my emotions while you're on earth. Let's read a list of these emotions. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, verse 23. Here is listed 9 emotions of Jesus that we can experience and know during our lifetime on earth. It says,
the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
There it is. God is saying that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the product of the Holy Spirit in your life will be love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and so forth. So here you can read 9 emotions of Jesus that he will inject into every believer. You see, brother, sister, God is saying that you don't have to be a person who makes it without supernatural help. We all experience emotional battles, ups and downs, emotional seasons that are pleasant and emotional seasons that are torture. We all experience them, but God is saying, I have superhuman emotions, the very emotions of Jesus. I want to give them to you. I want to inject them into you. You see, when God's spirit and a human spirit meet, an exchange takes place. When your spirit meets God's Spirit, an exchange takes place. He will absorb your pain and you can absorb his healing. He will absorb your hatred and you can absorb his love. He will absorb your fear and you can absorb his peace. So, brother, sister, Jesus experienced your emotional crushing so you can enjoy his emotional help. He absorbs our emotional ill health. We absorb his emotional good health. Jesus becomes our emotional victory. He became your emotional victory 2,000 years ago. Take that victory, brother, sister. By faith, take what He promised you. He promised you love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. He promised me these reside in you because the presence of Jesus' Spirit resides in you. Let's read Paul's words which describe our lives. Galatians, please. Chapter 2, verse 20. He wasn't just talking about himself. He's talking about you and me. Galatians 2, verse 20 says,
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Notice that. Christ lives in me. And it goes on.
The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Christ lives in us, and we live by the Christ who gave himself for us. He gave himself to spiritual suffering, to physical suffering, to emotional suffering, for our spiritual, physical, and emotional healing. So, brother, sister, today, stand up in faith. You don't have to be full of fear. You can be full of peace. You don't have to hate people and dislike people. You can love them with Jesus' love. You don't have to be depressed, despondent, and downhearted. You can look up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't understand what's going on in my life. I can't understand what's going on in the world. But I take your joy as my joy. He promised it to you in John 15:11, that they might have the full measure of my joy in them. Brother, sister, take it right now by faith as we pray to Jesus. Lord Jesus, we cannot imagine the pain in your body and the pain in your emotions. But we know you experienced all that pain for us. Jesus, right now, we stand up in faith and we say that we will be possessed and controlled by love, joy, peace, and patience, by your emotions, Lord Jesus, because you were crushed completely emotionally, but you were raised emotionally victorious forever and ever and ever. So Jesus, right now, we declare that we are emotionally healthy and victorious through you. In your wonderful name, Lord, amen.